Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. I'm always excited when people that I know come because they have a reputation, and Jeremy and April and I all sang in the Aeolians together at Oakwood. So we spent the better part of 3 years together just about every day on buses and planes and hotels. I know this man very well. If there's anything you want to know, I can tell you after the service is over. I may share one story right now. No, I'm not going to do that to you. But we always knew that you were going to be great. Jeremy, I remember, didn't know how to play the piano. I remember when you started teaching yourself to play the piano. I think it was your sophomore year at Oakwood, which is amazing. He can actually play very well now. And he's always been a talented musician, and we praise God that the Lord is still using him for his work. And so thank you for coming and for being here. You guys are going to be in concert later somewhere in the area, aren't you? Where? Alfred Street Baptist Church at 6 o'clock. Okay, so if you'd like to go and hear more from them, you can do that. We can get more information to you later on as well. So, I have to begin today with an apology. I'm sorry. Okay, it's like a sorry, not sorry type thing, but I am sorry. I believe I'm following the Spirit, but I'm not going to preach on singles today. So you know that we've been in our series. We've been doing a series on families, and we started with husbands, and then we did wives the next week, and then we did parents and children the third week. Last Sabbath, we were away on a spiritual retreat with the pastoral staff, and I told you beforehand, and I said in a video just last Sabbath, that I'd be finishing the series today on singles, but I decided not to. I had a few reasons for that. Obviously, the Spirit of God is the reason behind the whole thing, but here was the problem. Today is our ministry fair. And the ministry fair, because of its focus and what we're trying to do, I thought it would be a disservice to singles for us to sort of rush through the single sermon in order to get to the ministry fair. And the way that the day is planned out, I am not going to be able to preach a regular length sermon like I normally do. So I decided I would postpone it for another week. Now, at the time that I decided to postpone it, I wasn't aware that Pastor Cheatham would be leaving us. And so what that means is, with the way things are shaping up in the month of March, it will be the last Sabbath in the month of March that I will finish that series. So I'll make sure that you know beforehand. We'll put in all of our social media stuff. We'll have it in the bulletin and everything like that, just so you remember. But a month from today, really, the last Sabbath of the month, I think it's March the 28th, we will have our final sermon that will be towards singles. And I believe God is in this, though, because of the way that things are shaping up for the message today as we prepare for the ministry fair. So I hope you're okay with it. If you're not, I think you will be by the end, because I believe the Spirit of God is involved in the process. So please forgive me for changing that, but I know that God is in it. So I want to begin with prayer, and then we'll get right into things. Today's message is entitled Show and Tell. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence here with us today. We know that you are here, not just because we have felt your Spirit, but also because your word tells us that when two or three are gathered together in your name, that you are in the midst. That's a promise from you. And we are here right now, gathered in your name. So we know you are here. We're asking that you would send your Spirit in his fullness to be our teacher today. Help us to learn something about Jesus and his ministry that would help us to do better in this life so that we can help to usher in the second coming of Jesus. Let Jesus Christ be lifted up. Let him be seen and known and heard. And when the message is done today, may someone give his or her life to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Show and tell. I want to start with an article that I read earlier this week. It was an article that describes the seven reasons why most people do not, everybody say not, most people do not volunteer to do ministry at church. Seven reasons. Reason number one, little value perceived in serving. We do not always do a good job of helping people to understand how valuable service in the ministry of God actually is. And so people tend to think There isn't much value to this, and so they don't volunteer. Reason number two, narrow or inward scope. Most of the things that we do at church seem to be inwardly focused. And people say, I don't need to be a part of that. If we could be more open to the outside and to outreach, more people might join our ministry. And so we've tried here at Tacoma Park to do just that. And we're going to continue to do that. Number three, shabby recruitment efforts. We don't do a good job of recruiting people to be a part of ministry. And part of the reason why we're doing the ministry fair today is to remedy that problem right there. We want you to go through the booths and to see what's going on. And we think at the end, you will find at least one thing that you could be a part of. It's part of a recruitment to have you come and to be part of our ministry fair today. Number four, limited choices in how to serve. Very often, we don't have enough ways that people of differing personality styles or differing gifts can be used in ministry. And so sometimes we have this list of things that you can do, and you're not attracted to any of that because your personality and your gifts don't match up with that. And so we're trying to do better with making sure that our choices are not so limited. Number five, minimal assistance given in serving. Very few people want to be out on an island by themselves. They want to volunteer, but they know there's nobody that's going to help them. And so they say, I don't want to be the guy stuck holding the bag, and so I'm not going to do it. Number six, low expectation in serving. I think sometimes when we ask you to serve and you decide that you're going to, we don't necessarily tell you what it is that we're asking you to do. And so the expectations are low. And people say, well, if there are no expectations, maybe I don't need to do it. And they don't join. Number seven, minimal expressions of affirmation and appreciation. We know we're not doing ministry for people's applause, but it is nice to know when you're doing a good job. And people say, no one ever says thank you. And so some of you have been in ministry and you said, I'll never do it again. Because the only time they talk to me is when something goes wrong. Well, we want to change that perception here at Tacoma Park. And so we want to make sure that we're setting the right tone, and we're trying to do that today with our ministry fair. And so you'll look around right now and you'll notice that church seems to be a little bit emptier than usual. That's because most of our ministry leaders are across the street making sure their booths are just right for you when you come over. And the plan is for us to walk over right at 1 o'clock, a little bit earlier than that, so that we can begin right on time as soon as I'm finished here with this message. And so we want to make sure that you are involved and that you are excited about what the Lord is going to do. I think you will be excited. And by the way, I've been over there already to see it. It looks really good. They have prepared some wonderful things for you, and I hope that you will come and be a part of that today. So that's my ministry fair plug. But let me talk about what it is that we're talking about today, this show and tell thing. I believe, I've come to the conclusion, that there is nothing more important in this life than fulfilling the task for which God has created us. In fact, you will be miserable on this earth if your only goal in life is to fulfill your own dreams. You'll be miserable. Unless your dreams align with God's call on your life, you will never be happy. So today's message, in a very real way, is actually about happiness and fulfillment. We'll hear three perspectives from three different Bible characters. First Jesus, then Paul, and then James. In this message, show and tell. Go with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. What book did I say? Matthew 28. This was our scripture reading for today, verses 18 through 20. And we have it on the screen for you. And I would love it if you would join me in reading that right now. The Bible says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Who says amen to God's word today? We call this the Great Commission. Many of us have committed this text to memory. It's the most important text in all of Christendom because it gives us the reason for our existence. As Jesus stands before the 11 disciples, he utters these vital words to his men, while simultaneously also bequeathing a mission statement for every follower of Christ. You do understand the Great Commission is for everyone, right? Not just the 11 who were standing in front of him that day. He did not intend for his gospel message to end with the deaths of Peter, James, and John. We are to continue to carry out the good news of the gospel to the whole world so that Jesus can return for us. It's our Christian duty, and we believe as Adventists that it's even more important because of Matthew 24:14. The Bible says there, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall," what happened, everybody? "The end come." Jesus stakes his return on our diligence of effectively making disciples. Did you realize that? Every disciple of Jesus Christ is called upon to make more disciples of Jesus Christ. This is not just a function of the clergy. It's not just a pastor that's supposed to help people to become disciples. You know, they say, shepherds don't make sheep. Sheep make sheep. We as disciples are supposed to make other disciples of Jesus Christ. Who says amen to that today? God never intended us to become back pew consumers. In other words, we're supposed to be actively involved in ministry in the world. By the way, no offense to those who sit in the back pew. I'm just saying, he doesn't mean for us to be consumers. Many of us only take from God's word without ever giving anything back. It's even in how we characterize our going to church. I need to get my blessing. I'm going so I can get fed. I'm not going if he's not preaching or if she's not singing. I need to get my praise on. I know what you mean when you say those things, but I don't think we understand what we're really revealing about how we relate to the message of God. We are supposed to be a blessing, not just always receive a blessing. How are we feeding other people with the word of God? These sayings reveal and expose how we really think about our religious activities. It's all about us. Just like with everything else in this country, we've become consumers. Christian consumers. Consume. Use something up. To use something in such a way that it cannot be reused or recovered afterward. Consume. Is that what we do with God's word? God never intended for this to be the case. He wants us to ingest and imbibe his word, yes, but then he wants us to use the energy we derive from it to prepare a similar meal for someone else to eat. "Go and make disciples of all nations," Jesus says. This is to all Christians. How many Christians? All Christians. But how it looks personally for each of us will differ. We'll see that right now as Paul talks about it. Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 24. This is a lengthy passage, but I would love for you to read this with me as well. Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 24. Listen to what Paul says. Let's read it together. "From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews.'" Paul is talking about his ministry and how things went. "How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish the race, my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Who says amen to God's word today? Here Paul's explaining that I put everything out there, laid it all on the line, gave it all up, just so that I can do it God's way. In this life, the only thing that will give you any kind of hope or fulfillment, listen to me, is doing whatever it is that God has called you to do. Paul knew this, and he says, all that concerns him is completing the task that God gave to him. Paul wants to fulfill his mission on this earth. Paul was created to do one thing, and once he found out what that was, he relentlessly sought to fill that God-given duty. And that's how it must be for us as well. God is something for all of us to do in order to populate the kingdom of God. And it differs for each one. And if you can figure out what that is, you'll be the happiest person in the world if you just do what Jesus asks. And one author put it this way. Joy comes from seeing the complete fulfillment of the specific purpose for which I was created and born again. Not from successfully doing something of my own choosing. If we choose it ourselves and has nothing to do with God, ultimate joy and fulfillment cannot come from that. Joy comes from fulfilling what God asks you to do. By the way, the joy that Jesus experienced in this life, according to Scripture, came from doing what his Father sent him to do. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. John 20, verse 21. Figure out what God wants you to do, and then do that with all of your might. Then and only then will you truly be happy in this life. But you say, Pastor, I have no clue what my mission is. Well, maybe you'll figure that out today at some point. Maybe at this ministry fair. As you go around from booth to booth, I want you to pray that God would impress upon you which ministry of this church you should get involved in. There's something for everyone. And if you figure out what God wants from you, and that's not currently a ministry here at Tacoma Park, let us know, and we'll look into making that a ministry. We want you to be involved, and we may not have something that fits you. By the way, maybe you have no idea what would fit you. So we have one room where I will be, my wife will be there too, and we are going to do something a little bit special in there. It's the youth room in the upstairs part of the church center. We'll be in there. What we'll be doing is we are going to give out a personality assessment. It's not very long. And we'll be able to take it and score it together. And then I will share with you which ministries of the church may be a natural fit for you based on your personality style. You could find out maybe for the first time today what area of ministry you might be loving to do that you had no idea about based on how you're made up. So come and join us in there if you have no idea. Some of you already know what your ministry passion is. Some of you have clue. Some of you have done it before, so you know what really pushed your ministry button. Maybe you don't know. And if you don't, join us in the youth room as we go across, and I'll make sure that you know which one we think would work based on your personality style. Who says amen to that today? So that's Paul's perspective. Paul says, Jesus says, go out and make disciples of everybody. Paul says, I want to make sure I know specifically what it is God created me to do. And I'm going to find my ultimate fulfillment in doing that thing. I'm going to pursue it my entire life with every breath that I have, making sure that I fulfill God's mission for me in the earth. Okay, now there's one more. There's James. What does James have to say? And James is the one that really lends us our title for today. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 22. A long passage again, but read with me again. The Bible says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what everybody? Is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works, but show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Two more verses. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Last one. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Who says amen to God's word today? James says that faith and works go hand in hand. Faith without works is dead, but most of us read, faith without words is dead. You may not think you read that, but I can tell by your actions that's what you read. We talk and we talk and we talk. We know the right things to say, and we have all the slogans and cliches memorized. We're experts in the substance of God talk. God is good all the time. And all the time, that's right, you know that one. Let go and let God. Pray until something happens. But we don't even believe these things that we say. You know how I know? Because as soon as something goes wrong, we forget about the goodness of God. When we find ourselves in a jam, we do everything first, and then the last thing we do is let go and let God. When a crisis comes, we often forget to pray. We've become word-oriented Christians. But the message of James here in this text is that our Christianity is to be show and tell, not just tell. If we have replaced our works with mere words, our faith is dead. You see, we think works are bad because we know you're not saved by your works. Yes, that is true. We are not saved by our works. But it doesn't mean that works are bad. Good works are actually good. They may not save us, but they are evidence that we are saved. Our faith in Jesus Christ is proven by our works. But notice, James points out a specific kind of works. Look back at verses 15 to 17. And this time I got it in the NIV on the screen. Look what the Bible says here. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is what, everybody? Is dead. Who says amen to that today? When James wants to illustrate his point, he chooses a scenario from the real world, one that involves providing for someone's physical need. And he essentially says, someone comes to you with a physical need, and you offer him a word of encouragement, and that's it? You have substituted a good word for your good works. They don't need your word right then. They need clothes. They need faith. That's dead faith. Words don't provide food, clothing, and shelter. Words are important, but they are no substitute for good works. It's supposed to be show and tell. We think we're doing something because we can quote scripture and we know all the promises of God by heart. And that will help you in many situations, but it's not a proof of your faith if you leave it by itself. The devil and his angels know the Bible better than you do. And yet they hate God and the things of God. Words alone don't prove your faith. True Christianity is show and tell, not just tell. In fact, it's when I show what I've been telling that you know that I'm really sold out to Jesus Christ. We need to start backing up our words with some action. God wants us involved in ministry here at Tacoma Park. So today is your opportunity. Jesus says, make disciples of all nations. Paul says, I just want to fulfill God's mission for my life. James says, your faith is proven by your works. You believe the word of God today? Raise your hand if you do. Raise your other hand if you want to show and tell. Now look up and say, I surrender. Praise the Lord. Let me close with this. So many of you may know this. My wife, April, is a middle school teacher. And she has taught elementary school for about 15 years now. And I asked her about show and tell. Does anybody remember show and tell back in the day at school? You remember? Did you like it? Yeah, I used to love it. So I asked April what her show and tell is like. And so she told me that when she was first a teacher, I knew this too, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, all those kids love show and tell. And my assumption was that now that she's in middle school, her middle school older kids would not like it. But April told me that last year she did show and tell with her eighth graders and they loved it. These are like 14-year-old kids. Still loving it. Here's what she told me. One kid came to show and tell with his accordion. He plays the accordion. And he talked about the intricacies of the accordion, how it works, and how it uses air to make the sound, and the way you do this and then press the buttons on the side. He even played a little something for them. April said she's never seen that kid more engaged in class than when he was up there doing show and tell. Another girl had an aunt who died recently, and that aunt had given her a little trinket. And that girl brought that trinket to class that day and explained to them why that trinket was so important and how much more important it became after her aunt died. It was a little piece of her aunt that reminded her of her. And she talked about it with a brilliant smile and her heart just beating with pride. Here's the thing that all of these kids have in common. Every so often, a kid might forget that today is show and tell. And they might leave their item at home. Or they may have just forgotten. They remembered it was show and tell, but they forgot the item. And so April wants to include them. And so she'll always say, hey, if you left your item at home by accident, or if you forgot today was show and tell, that's okay. You can come up and just describe what it was that you would have shown us. Guess what happens every time? The kids always decline to go forward. They don't even want to do it. You know why? Because they know there's no point in just telling, and this is show and tell. Show and tell is not even fun if you don't have the item with you. She said one boy forgot his stuff at home, and April said, hey, go up there and just tell us what you wanted. And he said, no. He actually went into his desk, and he found a book in his desk and went up and did show and tell with that book and said, here's why I like this book. Right. He knows there's no point in going up for show and tell if you don't have anything to show. What these kids understand that many of us do not is that there is a relationship between showing and telling that makes it fun, that when you take one of them away, all of a sudden it becomes insignificant and meaningless. Most of us do a lot of talking. We tell all the time. And by the way, let me not diminish that, because when you've been touched by Jesus, you should be saying something to somebody. That's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. But you're only halfway there. If all you do is tell and you're not showing anything, you're talking, but you don't have any action to back it up. They say the things that are really important to you, you will actually do. The thing you really believe is the thing that you believe enough to have action on. The question is, what do you really believe about your God? If you really believe Him, you'll get involved in ministry. Now, before you get mad at me for guilt tripping you, let me say that's not what I'm doing. And let me go back to my original illustration to start the message. Many of you in the house of God right now are not involved in ministry, and it may not be your fault. It might not be because you don't want to do it. It could be because we're not doing a great job of giving you opportunities to get involved in ministry. Maybe one of those seven things at the beginning of the sermon is why you're not doing it. Well, today is supposed to be the change. We're trying to make it so that today you lose your excuse. You have no reason now not to be involved. We have a whole ministry fair set up that you can go through and make sure you find out what God wants you to do. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray over you, and then you're going to be dismissed immediately to walk across the street because it's almost 1 o'clock. It's 12:54 right now. And I want every single person in here to be at that ministry fair. Go over there, and you're going to find out today there is something God has for you that He wants you to do. Today is the day that you find out. Do not harden your heart toward God today. Get involved in ministry here. Would you stand with me as I pray? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the privilege that we have of being involved in ministry here at Tacoma Park. Lord, I want to thank you also that this church will allow me to be involved in ministry, even if I'm not a member here. I just like coming. I like being around. You know what? I want to be used too. Today is their day as well. Father, remind us today that it's a privilege to be involved in ministry and that there are ways in which we can help other people to know that Jesus Christ is real, and maybe that interaction will turn their hearts toward him. Father, use us for your glory. May it begin today for some of us who have no idea what you've called us to do. May we find it out today, and may we go after it with reckless abandon so that we can have the fulfillment and joy in life that only working for you brings. Give us that today. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'm not going to even ask you to be seated. I'm going to say, get your coat. Get your coat right now. And let's march across right now together for this ministry fair. Church isn't over yet. It's just continuing across the street. May God bless you.